welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead this morning. We're going to start with a passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel. We're going to take a look at the prophet Samuel and kind of how he got started in his life, but we're going to see something very profound that applies to me and you today. So the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly the Lord called out, "Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied. "What is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. The Lord called out again, "Samuel." Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "No, I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called the third time. And once more, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again, and if you hear someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." So Samuel, and this is back in the days too, where visions were not common, you know, and that move of the Spirit. So we see Samuel getting his call to the ministry here. And it's really interesting as you look at this little story and, you know, and how it happened with Samuel. He was hearing the voice of the Lord calling him. And it was so real in his heart and his mind, he just thought, well, it's got to be Samuel. But as he went back and forth a few times, Samuel realized what was going on, and sure enough, it was God calling him. And something we notice here right away, too, is that Samuel had a call, but Eli could not answer that call for Samuel. Eli had to make Samuel go back and answer that call himself. It was a call that only he could answer. You could put it this way: if the phone is for you, then you have to take the call. Nobody else can take the call. As we look at a call like this in the Old Testament, this prophetic call, it's astounding. It's amazing to look at. But let's pull it over to our new covenant and see what the Bible says about us as believers. Now, we know that we're saved by grace through faith, and that's the beautiful reminder of communion. It brings us all back to our foundation. We're all here because we've got that foundation. We're doing different things for God, but that's our common denominator. That cup and that bread, it's all of our common denominators, no matter what you're doing for God. But there's something that God also has designed for every one of our lives, and we find it here in 2 Timothy. God has saved us and called us with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Message puts it this way: God first saved us and then called us to his holy work. We had nothing to do with it. It was all his idea, a gift prepared for us in Jesus long before we knew anything about it. I do like the way the New King James puts it: it was given to us in Christ before time began. Wow, that sounds pretty epic. And we, again, this morning we're celebrating, realizing we're saved by grace through faith. But that same grace through faith not only saved us, but we also received a calling. We received a purpose. You know, we think of eternal life, that is just future. Praise God, my future is in Christ, and I am going to spend eternity with him, and I know that at the point I die, I got hope. as an anchor for my soul. I know where I'm going. I'm going to be present with the Lord. But not only that, when we receive Christ, but we're also saved with a holy calling for now, for this moment, while we're on the earth. So our salvation isn't just about the future after we die. Our salvation is about the here and now with the call that He's put on our lives. Each one of us has been given a supernatural call. This morning, I want to just address that. Answering God's call. Answering God's call. Again, if the phone is for you, nobody can answer that call but you. And it is a profound thought, because a lot of times we think, you know, we live in a world with almost 8 billion people, and you get a few people on the top, a few famous people, celebrities and all that, and they get the attention and the glory and the fame and all that kind of stuff. And in the body of Christ, in the way the world functions, it's just so flipped from, the church is so flipped from the way the world functions. You know, there was a point where Jesus, He said, if you're going to be great, you're going to be the servant of all. In other words, you're not looking for a stardom, you're not looking for a glory, you're listening, though, for the voice of the Spirit of God, for what He wants you to do, what He's calling you to do. And you've got a call on your life. And this morning, we're going to take a look at that, that call on your life. You're not here to just, to just punch a clock and pay bills. There's more to you than punching a clock and paying bills. There is purpose. And the thing about God's purposes is they reverberate. You know, when He calls you to do something, we pray that part of the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our call. What does that mean to you? That's your call. God shows you what that is. So we're going to look at hitting the green button this morning. We're going to look at what it means to answer that call and to realize that you've got one. The first aspect I want to look at is the fact that God is calling you, all right? Again, He's calling you. Little old me and little old you, yeah, you have a calling. What is the scripture clearly says? For we, now, Paul is writing this to the church at Ephesus, okay? He's not writing it to apostle so-and-so. He's writing it to the church, that's us. And he's saying, we, church, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, before time began, that we should walk in them. Amplified, we're God's handiwork, recreated in Christ Jesus that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Passion says, even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Do you believe that? Amen. It's true. It's true. Little old me, little old you, God prepared ahead of time, prepared paths. The God who created our creation, the design of, you look at these beautiful trees and the leaves, and I mean, you can just spend your whole life studying plants in the intricate, creative detail of plants. The human body, the human brain, the incredible, I mean, we went through the stats, you know, a year or two ago, just about the synapses and the billions of synapses and the complexity that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, all the creative, intelligent brilliance of God that we can see in creation was unleashed in our spirit with good works He ordained you to walk in. Don't let that tilt you. Just look around at creation. And don't be tilted by the glory of God who prearranged and went out ahead of you. He did. You know, I kind of saw this once just kind of play out. And the Lord reminded me of this once. And this is when Abby was in her hamster stage and getting, you know, kind of mothering these little hamsters, and it was funny, you know, she'd have a few hamsters, and every time she'd get another hamster, the cage would get bigger. and more elaborate and more furniture in the in all this. And it's like, wow, these hamsters, they're amazing. They're treated like royalty. And, you know, the best bedding, and it's got to be the right stuff that, you know, and it's like all this way over my head. She's studying it and looking at it. And it was, I don't know if it was Finn or Chip or one of those that she was preparing, and she was like, you know, raising money to buy this big, huge cage for it. Well, it's like a big, almost like aquarium type thing, but yeah. And so, but I mean, it took up a big chunk of her room. And it's like a mansion for hamsters. But she hasn't even bought the hamster yet. And it's like, that scripture came back to me, you know. Abby is preparing ahead of time, you know, preparing accommodations for this hamster that hasn't even been bought yet to enjoy the good life, which Abby has prearranged and made ready for Chip to live. You know, if our children can do that for a hamster, how much more should we have faith that God, who transcends time and space, can see out ahead of our future and have the same meticulous, loving care for our lives too? He does. He's got a plan for you. He's prepared you to walk in. And this is why I so love the Word of God. To see this. You know, in the world, it's kind of a pseudo thing. You know, I mean, my kids grew up in the Barney era, okay, in the 90s, so we would hear that song over, "You are special, you're the only one, there's no one else like you." And so it's kind of the positive reinforcement, you're special, you're unique, and it's kind of like, yeah, and that's true technically. But it was just kind of to make you feel good, a self-esteem, to build you up different things like that, to feel good about yourself. But it's different here. It's different with the call of God. It's not just, you are special. I know why I'm special. I've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. While I was a sinner, he loved me and he died for me. I can see why I'm special. It's not just the hope of a fantasy of being special. The authority of God's word says I'm his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, he's ordained me to walk in. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Yeah, you're special for a reason. God loves you. He is for you. And he has prepared a plan for your life. Before you can answer the call, you got to believe that you got a call. You got to believe that there's something that God has prepared for you. Believe that. There is purpose for your being here. There's in your purpose for being here, Jesus said it's actually storing up treasure in heaven. It has eternal, beautiful value. So part of that is just believing, hey, I got a call to answer. The next thing is just know that call is knowable, all right? It's not something that is just out there that, you know, you can't ever really, truly know. No, the Word of God shows us that call is knowable. It puts it this way in Philippians, Paul speaking, he said, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." New Living says, God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Amplified, not in your own strength, "For it is God who all the while is effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight." This is part of finding your call. It's kind of listening on the inside. He gives you desire. He energizes you with desire in creating in you a wanting to do what he's called you to do. I like to liken it this way too. If you kind of find the things that you have patience for, that you'll stick with until you get it right, that could be a good little signal that God's got something for you in that area. God's developing in you a desire, you know, to do something. And so as we look at this part of it, his call is knowable. To begin to pay attention, what is it that I like to do? What is it that I have a desire to do? And we've had just even a Door of Life. You know, when we started Door of Life, our purpose was, you know, right out of Psalms, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. We're going to let the Lord build the house. We're going to let the Lord do and move by His Spirit. And it's been an amazing thing to watch, just as a pastor, to see this in you and to see things the way God uses you, whether it's outside the church or inside the church. You know, we've got that wonderful food pantry that reaches the community, because Heidi Penchoff had in her heart one time this desire to start something, to start a food pantry. That didn't start with me, not at all. We've got a beautiful ministry called Second Helping. You know, Robin Walker, just this is something that's burning in my heart. I've got just, you know, it's God working in you to will and to do. I didn't do anything or I didn't call anything. It's just like, God just put that in her heart. It's like, great, cool, let's go. Those are things that God is working in people to will and to do. And even many of you too that will surround those ministries. It's like, I hear that ministry, I want to help. So it's not like Robin's doing it all in herself. No, Robin gets that desire to will and to do, and then people are called around to help and support. Same with Heidi, with the food pantry. People are called around to help. But that's a beautiful thing when you begin to sense God puts something in your heart. And it's almost like God takes His heart and gives us a piece, and He'll put that desire in us to want to do, you know, what He's called us to do. And I'll put it this way too. Sometimes as you're looking at your heart and your life and think, what is it that I like to do? It can be multiple things. It doesn't just have to be that one thing. Sometimes there's going to be seasons, you know, and I'd say when it was a senior in high school, they'd say, okay, what are you going to do? What direction are you going to go? And hand out the note cards and you have to write out what that was. And I'd put their computer programmer and pastor. You know, what do those two have in common? You know, can't think of any connection between a computer programmer and a pastor, but there was seasons of life where God would call you to do things. You look at the Apostle Paul. He was a tent maker and an apostle, all right? And so Luke was a physician, you know, and helped and wrote, you know, the gospel. So there's going to be sometimes different things that God puts in your heart to do. And sometimes, you know, we even have a beautiful card ministry back there. Donna Chute creates these cards. She's got that gift to create these beautiful cards. And her heart was, let's just provide them, and the love offerings toward them will go to missions and to help missions. Praise God. Which is another area, too, where Mona comes up and says, missions. Great. You know, I love that. It's not for me to make up a bunch of stuff so you think I have vision. It's about going after God one day at a time and following after Him and letting God work in the body of Christ to be the body of Christ in praise and worship. People graced and anointed to do different things like that. I like to say that about our praise and worship team all the time. You know, they're going to go into the presence of God with or without you. You know, whether you want to come along or not, it's up to you. But they are going there no matter what. And so it's great when people are anointed and called to do those different things. And there's a grace upon them to do it. And the beautiful thing of it is it's just God. He's the one working in you, but it's knowable. In other words, there's a desire to do something. You know, Julie and I would always joke about when we were first getting started, you know, back in our Bible school days, about, you know, you always hear the old adage, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And so for us, the ultimate would be to move to Texas in about 120 degree heat and be junior high youth ministers and live off their love offerings. We tried to make the most painful scenario. We said, Lord, we would do that if that's what you wanted us to do. Trying to be really spiritual. But what we found out was that God called us to do the things that He put in us a desire to do. It wasn't like some sadistic test that we had to pass. And sometimes finding the call of God, you can kind of, oh, I just got to do this. You know, he's working in you to will and to do. If you got patience for something, you got a desire for something, man, go after that. And again, it doesn't have to be direct ministry in the church. It can be outside the church. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, you know why? Because whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, there's people there. There's influence there. There's light to be shined there. You're there. You understand that? You're not just a plumber. You're a born-again Christian plumber. You're not just an electrician. You're a born-again electrician. You're born again. You're a child of God. So whatever that desire to do it, you're there. Your influence is there. There's light in you. Whatever that is. So again, don't tie it to have to be ministry. It doesn't have to be ministry. It's whatever God is calling you and ordaining you to walk in. There will be satisfaction there. There will be a joy that you have in doing that. So just know that. It's noble. Don't overcomplicate that. Just be listening on the inside as far as things that you're aware of. And then also, God equips you for his call, okay? And we can see here, I think this is the Apostle Paul just saying, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I give thanks to him who has granted me the needed strength and made me able for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he has judged and counted me faithful and trustworthy, appointing me to the stewardship of the ministry. Point here just being, God enables us to do it. You know, we can think, I've got some talents and I've got some abilities. Yes, you have some God-given talents and you have some God-given abilities. And this is really such an important thing when it comes to letting God equip you for this work and equip you for that call. Because if you don't see it as God equipping you, you're going to put a lot of pressure on yourself to have to be smart enough and clever enough and strong enough. And there comes a point where you got to realize the grace of God is on me. There's a reason that I desire to do this. There's something of grace that's on me to do this. And here's the cool thing. I mean, you could know you're called to do something, and yet you're not really equipped yet to do it. You're just in that time with the Apostle Paul said, he counted me faithful. So I sense that I got something there. And then as you sense that, God will begin to lead you into paths that will begin to prepare you for that call he's ordained you to walk in. I remember, again, being way back in my young days, and I'm just like, you know, 19, 20 or whatever, and I'm at church. And I think it was like after a choir practice on a Wednesday night, we were getting ready to go in the service. And I remember my pastor, Joel, he said, hey, Ed, why don't you pray us out? And I thought, oh, okay, pray. You know, and here and it's like, yeah, okay, this is, and I'm just, in my heart, I know I'm going to the ministry someday, and I'm just being asked to pray. And it's like, oh, I'm kind of stumbling over trying to pray, and I'm thinking, how am I going to get up and be preaching in front of some people someday when I'm just stumbling over a prayer? It's like, this is the ministry, yeah, this is, but it's like, you don't start out. You start out with a call. You start out with a witness, and you begin to grow and establish and develop in that. And it was like, okay, yeah. And I remember praying through that prayer. But it was like you begin to step out into some things and venture out into some things. And you're growing up. You're growing into that call. But then there comes a time, as you're just being faithful to do what God has called you to do, that there comes enablings that'll happen too along the way too. You could say favor and grace and things that'll just, it's like you deposited in you. So I remember, you know, I was actually, again, another choir loft story, but I was in the choir, and we were getting ready to go to Rhema, and the Lord spoke to my heart because I was getting ready. I'm going to go to Rhema, and I'm going to get through that and finally be able to tear it up for Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord said, Ed, it's going to be 7 years before I begin to move you out into what I've called you to do. We call that the second sermon of the Holy Spirit. I got one of those second sermons that said, it's going to be 7 years. You know, that was back in 1989. And in 1996, we were serving with a pastor in Hopkins, Minnesota at the time. And my pastor said to me, Ed, I want to start kind of a Sunday school for new believers. These are people who have just come into the church, and for you to help kind of grow them up, kind of 101. And it was like, wow, really? Yeah. I'd done altar working in different supportive roles and things, but I want you to take on this group. And it was just like a little class, like a little flock of new baby Christians. And it was 7 years. It was exactly the way the Lord prophesied it to my heart. And then in 1997, I was ministering at a healing school. And something happened at that healing school. It was I just began to minister. The anointing just dropped in my heart. It was like something just clicked. And it was like, Yes, I get it. You know, we're singing about a spirit of a sound mind. It's a continuity of thought to function and flow in a call that God has put you in. But you don't start there. You start with a witness and a faithfulness. And then as you begin to walk in it, you begin to grow in it. You begin to grow and develop that confidence. But there's an equipping all along the way. But it takes faith. You got to answer the call to get the process started, right? You can't just let it ring and ring and ring and ring and ring. At some point, you got to click hello and begin to take some of those steps toward that. And it's exciting when you begin to develop in a call. I've seen you guys develop in your calls, and it's like, wow, it's really amazing. You know, there's a from glory to glory that you experience as you're doing that. So there is that, you know, there's that equipping that God has for the call. And I'm going to kind of say this too, a little bit about this. I remember they cautioned us about this in Bible school, and I've come through the years to find that it's truly true. Sometimes God might show you something about somebody else. Sometimes God might show you something about a gift or an ability that somebody else has. And I will say this, whether you're a parent or whatever, don't be quick to prophesy that over them. Listen, God may be showing you that, you know, is God showing you that for something to pray or for something to say? He could be showing you something in your heart to pray over some things. I don't just say whatever I want to say. I say what I have permission to say about what I know. In other words, Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to share? And I'll say a lot of times as a parent, you know, you can begin to encourage and influence your child in an area that you perceive things and then let them get the revelation. And then you can piggyback on and say, yeah, high five. Because sometimes I've seen this. Young people especially, they get these huge prophecies over them, and they're like crushed under the weight of it because they haven't even gotten any kind of a witness or sense, and they're trying to live up to this prophecy. That can be damaging, and people can be discouraged about that. So I do put some caution here too. If you're getting something for somebody else, be sure that you're sensitive, and don't be quick to be the prophet, you know, and declare stuff. Listen, pray, and then share what you have peace about being able to share. And it's, even with kids, your kids are even different, even though they grew up in the same family. So you might have a different approach on how you do different things with different kids. So I do want to just put that out there, too, as you're sensing and perceiving things. Because if you call somebody in the ministry, and then they're going through the issues of the ministry, and they're thinking, am I here because God called me or because my mom and dad called me? You got to know God called you. So it's important as it relates to some of these nuanced things, and as you're growing and getting equipped, that we're sensitive to that kind of stuff. So also, don't wait for perfection, all right? You know, there's a process, there's a growth process that we're going through. I love when you look at the call of Isaiah. It was the year King Uzziah died. I saw the Lord, this is Isaiah speaking. He was sitting in a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. Two, they covered their feet. With two, they flew. They were calling to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, it's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I live among people with filthy lips, yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed. Your sins are forgiven. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am, send me. Wow, what a difference. He went from, I'm doomed, it's all over, to standing in the presence of a holy God to say, here I am, send me. What made the difference? The coal touched his lips that removed that sense of guilt and shame, that sense of inadequacy. You know, if you're going to be focused inward on all the little faults and failures, you'll never quite ever feel qualified. When we became Christians, yeah, we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, but we're also created in righteousness and true holiness. We've been a new creation. The old has passed away. And so as I'm beginning this journey and I'm seeing where God is calling me to, I'm not seeing it according to my natural physical body, my natural man, you could say. I'm seeing the new creation. I'm seeing who I am in Christ. And I can say, here I am, send me. Do I have some growth? Do I have some developing? Yeah, I do. But that sense of imperfection, it's removed in Christ. There is a forgiveness and a cleansing that gives me the ability to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And remembering good works, he's ordained me to walk in. I'm not making stuff up. I'm just trying to discern, Lord, what you've already prearranged for me. That's what I'm doing as your child of God. I like the way Paul says it this way. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So this is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul didn't wait to get perfect. I mean, this is really toward the end of his ministry. I mean, this is, he's in the Philippian, this is one of his prison epistles at the end of his life. And he says, I have not arrived. I've not achieved it. I've got room to grow. But look at what he said here, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Because a lot of times, the ability to go from here to here to here to here can get stuck when you're looking behind. But the Apostle Paul gave himself permission, as God gave him permission, to forget those things that are behind so he can move forward to what lies ahead. Now think about who's saying he's forgetting those things that are behind. He said something else about himself under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and under Scripture. He said, I was the chiefest of sinners. Paul was the chiefest of sinners. Wow, Paul, what were you addicted to? What was your rap sheet? What was your... He said, because I tried to destroy the church of God. In other words, it wasn't just a seduction to that bondage or a seduction to that bondage. His sin was to destroy this cross, destroy God's plan of salvation, undermine everything Christ did for the whole world. That's what his jugular was, to destroy the work of Christ, to shut people out, ripping parents from their children, barging in on underground church services, taking parents away from their children, throwing them in jail, consenting to death, doing everything he could to destroy Christianity. Could you imagine? He must have had some visions. He must have had some things that would, that person face comes back in, and what could they have, if you hadn't done, and it, I mean, I'm just saying, that if the chiefest of sinners can forget those things that are behind, then me and you and our big rap sheet and all our big stuff, we can forget those things that are behind too. Praise God. If the chiefest of sinners could not be held back by his past, then praise God. We can keep moving in this direction too. But he had to actively forget those things that are behind. He didn't say, I've forgotten those things that are behind. No, forgetting, present tense. The enemy we still have who keeps coming is a roaring lion. I'm resisting, and I'm intentionally moving forward to that call that God has called me to do. Reaching for that race, praise God. Don't compare God's calls. I like this. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, if the whole were hearing, if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. I love the Amplified. But as it is, God has placed and arranged the limbs, the organs of the body, each in particular one of them, just as he wished and saw fit and the best adaptation. This is where it's important, too, to realize we all have a place in the body. This is not just fluffy, feel-good stuff either. It's literally technically true. We do. We have different graces, different abilities. I love this kind of analogy. In March of 1981, President Reagan was shot by John Hinckley Jr. and was hospitalized for several weeks. Although Reagan was the nation's chief executive, his hospitalization had little impact on the nation's activity. Government continued on. On the other hand, suppose garbage collectors in this country went on strike, as they did in Pennsylvania. That city was not only a literal mess, The pile of decaying trash quickly became a health hazard. A three-week nationwide strike would paralyze our country. Who's more important, the president or a garbage collector? One body, many members. I'll tell you what, I am so grateful. When we look at Door of Life, we've got so many people doing so many things. There's things you can see, there's things you don't see. And we can see that ministry, the body, it's very much like that. We all have a different role. We all have a different function. And so it's not a matter of just trying to making one more important than the other. I know sometimes when you look at even the ministry gifts, you'll kind of hear that sometimes. You know, the apostle is there to break new ground, in establishing the work of God. Having oversight over other ministries, the prophetic will have an inspiration that brings direction and correction, revelation. An evangelist has an endowment to preach salvation to souls. Pastors are there to feed and lead and nurture and protect the flock of God. Teachers have a special anointing to explain the scripture. That's great. But if an apostle gets an attitude, I'm not going to go where the gospel's been preached before. I'm just only going to go. I mean, anybody can do that, you know, kind of get a jaded attitude. No, well, they're called to go to those new works. That's great. Or the evangelist says, okay, Pastor, how many souls have you gotten saved recently, Pastor? How many souls have I gotten saved, Pastor? You know, well, you got a call on your life. Praise God for that evangelistic call. And the pastor will say, yeah, and where are they right now? Are they being fed? Are they being nurtured? We've got different calls. We've got different abilities. And sometimes it can get weird in the church where you get competitive and weird. And this is the way Apostle Paul had to deal with that, even in his ministry. This is the message he said. Because he had people that come in behind him and criticize his call and not doing things as well as they do. And so the Apostle Paul says, we're not, understand, putting ourselves in a league with those who boast that they are our superiors. We wouldn't dare do that. But in all this comparing and grading and competing, they quite miss the point. And so I'm going to say that, don't compare, you know. And it is an exciting thing when you get a sense, this is what God's called me to do. There's a sense like, man, everybody should want to do this. Well, that's a good sign that you got what God's calling you to do. But realizing that not everybody is called to do that. And to have a grace and an understanding with what, you know, with what God has called each of us to do in our place. Not too late to answer, finally. And the scripture says this, the gift and the callings of God are irrevocable. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they're given. He does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. The message, God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded. So you could be here, and maybe you never quite answer that call, and years can go by. I mean, the testimony, if you've ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth, he'd actually gotten saved pretty young as a child, backslidden till he was 48 years old. And then he decided to push hello. He decided to push the green button, answer. And then from 48, he began to walk with God, and God began to do things in his life. We look at the example of Moses. Moses was called to do great things, and at 40 years old, he tried to do it in his own strength. And he had to spend it up another 40 years in the back desert, you know, hearing from God, walking with God. And here he is, an 80-year-old man. He's got less influence, less resources, less of everything in the natural sense, and now God says, good, now you're ready. Now I can use you. And 80 years old, Moses began to fulfill his call. What are we saying? It's never too late to hit that answer button. God can do supernatural, a quick work. He can catch you up. He can redeem the time. It's never too late to answer that call. Never too late to step into the things that God has called you to do. Amen. Praise God. So, answering God's call. God is calling you. There's good works he's ordained you to walk in. There's things he's calling you to do. It's knowable. It's not complicated. Pay attention to those impressions that you get in your heart. Pay attention to the things that you're desiring to do. It's amazing how much that ability, it is of him. It's a profound thought, but it is absolutely true. That is just, that ability comes from him. God equips you for his call. Again, that there will be a process. You're just taking a step along the way, but you might have a witness for something. And when you first start to step into it, it might be a little intimidating. But as you just continue to go down that vein, he's going to continue to equip you, grace you, and favor you to fulfill what he's called you to do. Don't wait till you're perfect. You know, you're not going to get there in this life. You're going to reach for it, but if you make perfection a prerequisite for answering that call and saying hello, you'll never get there. We got to answer it by faith where we're at right now and say, in fact, let me say it this way. Sometimes, you know, Door of Life is three basic things: the love of God, getting victory in Christ, and God's destiny for your life. Those three things. Sometimes, as you're trying to get victory over things and situations, getting the sense of destiny will pull you out of a bunch of self-seeking and junk. When you begin to see what God's called you to, all of a sudden, I'm not the most important thing in my freedom and my victory and my. What are you calling me to do? There's nothing that can quite jerk you out of you when you begin to see the people and the heart and the purpose that God has for you. It is such an important part of it. You know, don't wait till you're perfect. Let your mind go there. All of a sudden, you'll be, you know, immersed with a purpose that'll pull you out. And then don't compare God's calls. Man, we're all important. We all have a role. And it's not too late to answer that call. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just the fact that we're called by you and that you've placed on each one of us a call. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I hear your call today. I'm answering that call. You know exactly where I'm at. But I know your call does not pass away. It's still on me. There's still a grace there. An anointing there. I'm going to go that direction. Guide me by your Spirit. I want to bring glory to you. Thank you for this life. You prepared it beforehand that I should walk in it. Today, I'm going to start walking in it. Lord Jesus, today is my day. The day I call upon your name. The day I receive you and become a child of God. Come into my heart. Forgive my sin. I need you. And I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, man, let me know. I'd love to further encourage you, give you some good things to start you on that journey. Best decision you can make in your life is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Praise God.